Coming to you from cities all over the world, produced in Aotearoa, New Zealand, this is the Places for Good podcast. We bring you the designers, planners, and placemakers who shape the shared spaces of tomorrow, from stories of the past to visions for the future. We talk pride of place wherever you are. I'm your host, Boopsie Moran. Our guest today is passionate about safe school travel and working alongside children to create the safe last kilometer. He is a mobility urbanist at the municipality of Skavina. He believes the best mobility plan is a good land use plan. In his free time, he enjoys building rain gardens and hosting workshops for kids that promote placemaking and active citizenship. He is a European placemaking leader and a member of Placemaking X. He is an activist, eco-social innovator, and city lover. Joining us from Skavina, Poland, please welcome Maciej Zacher.
Kia ora, Mupsi. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's so nice to see you here on Zoom from lockdown New Zealand. I'd love to just be here today to learn more about all your awesome work with children and designing safer routes for them.
I'd be happy to share with you.
So let's start with, you were talking earlier about your STAR process. So what, when you were talking about STAR charts or whatever you used in your school, how does that work?
Okay, so as I said before, while we were chatting, I'm not the first person to deal with the issue of school safe school travel, and we are building on top of some other experiences. And there was a European project, EU funded project called STARS. And in the course of this project, some quite useful tools were produce, and now we are using those tools. One of those tools is survey. We modified a little bit, but the survey is helping us to answer the questions: what are we actually dealing with in terms of, or what is the problem with safe school travel? So with those surveys, we are asking children how do they get to school and how do they would like to get to school, where do they live and what distance from school they live, and like the short motivation question also. So with that, we can collect quite a lot of data, knowing the, and then we can check the correlation between the distance and the mode of travel. So we have like fuller knowledge on what the issue is and how to tackle it. So the results are quite interesting because we can clearly see, for instance, that the bikes are definitely more desired. Like bike travel is definitely more desired in the villages, which is quite surprising because the structure of the villages like wouldn't show it. So It's quite contrary to what you might think. So that's why it's definitely worth to analyze it with that kind of tools.
So and recommend it. Did the teachers collect the data, or did you have people outside the school? Oh, teachers do it.
Okay, so as we are quite a small team, because we are a team of six only within our municipality, and we have one Roman superstar, so our cycling officer, who is responsible for this outside contact, I would say. He's collaborating closely with the teachers and he's delivering the service to the teachers and then collecting them and also gathering all the data into Excel charts. So that's pretty much it. So it's like collaborative work between us from the municipal council and schools.
So is Roman like the face of the whole project as far as improving routes? Do the schools and the students and the teachers know that he is there to help them find a safer journey, or is he just kind of in between?
I'd say even more. Roman is gonna be all over this talk today. Because he's our cycling walking officer. He used to be a cycling activist in our municipality, but then he got hired by the municipal council, municipal office, and Now he's our eyes and ears in a city, in a town, in suburbs. So he's our face of sustainable mobility. He's not like literally, like you can imagine. I don't know if you've seen our promotional materials where we have like a cartoon face of Roman, who is the Roman is all over the place. He's not very happy about it because he has some weird situations because of that. But in general, he's the man. He's the person, and I highly recommend to everyone to have someone like him. He's very much invested in what he's doing, and I wish him all the best because he got hit by a car just last week. Luckily he's not broken or anything, but he's gonna be fine.
He'll probably still come back fixing infrastructure for cycling with more chutzpah. But I guess he's your local champion turned employee, and then not just turned employee, turned celebrity and face of a movement. And he's happy to do that because he started off as the activist advocate and now he's in a paid role.
Yes.
So there's a model to be seen there, that if someone constantly is applying a face to a project and it's a smallish village, you can really use that energy, invest in it for the better rather than continue to argue against, right?
Yes, and I think it's it can be a tricky process. I have no doubt about it. But in Roman's case, it worked just fine. Still, we have some funny situation with him. Like he's quite often attacking him, attacking us, asking like, "What are you doing?" And it's like, "Roman, remember, you are now part of the team." So it's like, "What are we doing?" Yes.
So does he like the stencils? How helpful were the stencils on the road of his fate? Because I remember at the Chattanooga Placemaking Week, you showed us a stencil. There was two I really appreciated, that Roman was keeping an eye on the street kind of stencils or signs, that you were watching students safely make it to school, and that there'd be his face. Mm-hmm. And then it would be Roman says it's 2 kilometers to this. Explain how you made those and if they're helpful.
It's actually not our idea again. It's just a cheaper version. It's a cheaper version of the thing that we've seen on some photos from New York, I guess. And they had those plaques on the placed on the streets, like saying you are 10 minutes walking from somewhere. And as we have constant struggle with managing the streets, managing bodies, because we are not responsible for all the streets in the town, because county is responsible for some are national roads. So there's always an issue of getting a permit to place anything out there. So we came up with this idea to create like small stencils, A3 format, and paint them on the floor with chalk. You can get this spray chalk, and like when someone is asking, like, "What are you doing? You're demolishing the paving." I said, no, look, like, and it's gone. You know? Unfortunately, of course, it's gone after the rain, so we have to redo that. And we have different kinds of those stencils. So, like, first one is the stencil showing 5, 10, 15 minutes distance from our main market and from train station, which is the main mobility hub in Skawina. And we have those instructional stencils saying keep right, walk right, cycle right. Just like up here, we have the right side, not like do the opposite on every possible way. So so we are educating people, and we are also showing them how compact Skawina is. Because it's a beautiful compact town, so you can get everywhere on foot. Like even today, we had this funny situation on the city council meeting. Like one of the members of the city council suggested that we resign from the idea of a 15-minute city and focus on 10-minute city instead. Because 15 minutes is not enough.
So that's interesting. So is it because you're doing so well in your compactness, your council member thought, yes, we can do this?
The idea behind it is that we have, Skavina as a town has a really nice compact structure by itself. It's a medieval structure in the core. So it's very dense and with narrow streets, and that's pretty good opportunity to make it happen, like to using various tools to make this 10 minute walking city possible. And you can actually cross Skavina on foot, like within half an hour, you can cross the city. Hmm. So, like you can imagine the scale, and it's pretty flat. So the situation on the suburbs and rural areas looks quite different, but still we aim on that walkability.
Yeah, promoting the movement within, because you're on the outskirts of Krakow, so people who once they mm-hmm. leave this big city center, they come to their suburb, and they shouldn't be they don't have to be in their car because they live in a 10-minute city. So
yeah.
The question is, did people like the two questions I have? One is, did people like the stencils, and did they help them understand how easy it is to walk? Did it work? And then the second question is, I forgot already. The second question is basically, it'll come back to me, but how did it work? Did the stencils work?
No problem. Yes. Yes, they do. The feedback that we are getting is that people were not aware of that. And at first they were surprised, and they thought like we are tricking them, because they're like, oh, you're young, you must be running here and there. I said, no, look, like Roman. Another thing about Roman is that he's not in his 30s. He's still a young man, but he's all grown up with a nice mustache and everything. But he's definitely not a teenager. So he's also well known all around. So when he says something, like he's this authority, then people believe him. And he says, okay, I am measuring it on my own feet, by my own feet. And it's in a tempo of 50-something person. So that's reachable. So that's the first thing. That the feedback that we are getting, that it's not real, but that also shows that people are actually checking it. The second type, walk right, keep right in general, is also working. You can observe it, especially during the weekends in our park, municipal park, which is full of people then. And before we started using those stencils, it was a mess. And now you can observe children actually telling parents like, oh, look, it's written here, keep right, walk right, cycle right, we have to keep right. So so it's working through children, and also children know that Roman is painting it, because Roman is going from school to school, giving talks, showing children how to behave safely on the road. And that's why he's our mobility hero.
Yeah, he's your local hero. That's, and I remember now what my other question was when you're talking about permission for your stencils, and it's a very similar issue in a lot of cities around the world, how were you able to bring the national municipality to talk to the local municipality to get permission to maybe use other streets? Were you allowed to, or you never got to touch any of the national streets?
That's one of our biggest challenges, because we can get around money issue. So that's not an issue. Money is not an issue. The issue is the huge mental gap between us in municipality, who understand people because we are close to the people, and we understand those needs of people and of our school children need for a safe school travel, and the other authorities who are governing other roads, like high roads in hierarchy. So for them, the crucial aspect is the flow. The cars must go. The flow is everything. So anything that will disrupt the flow is bad for them. And we are trying to do exactly that. So, for instance, to apply the school street, which means that the street is out of use for a couple of hours daily. And that's something which is unimaginable for instance, county authority. And imagine we have this funny situation that we are fighting for one raised pedestrian crossing on one of the county roads. And after 3 years, they agreed. And we're so happy. Yeah, we're going to make it. They send us the project. And we of course, agreed. This is cool. This is absolutely great. And they came and did it. But instead of building it, like actually rising it, they just painted it. Like they painted it on the floor. We're like, what? It's raised like 3 millimeters. Come on, what are you doing, guys? It was supposed to be raised like 12 centimeters, not 3 millimeters with paint only. I said, oh, because we cannot disrupt the flow. I was like, come on. Who are you going to help with that?
Yeah, they disregard the children's point of view and the understanding that there's the flow of people coming through in their car, but these children are going on foot twice a day, right?
Yeah, it's kind of a vicious cycle, to be honest, because on one hand they're saying like, okay, so like almost no one is walking to school, even though we have this data that is showing that around 16% of children are walking, plus children who are cycling, plus we have this data on desired mobility modes. So we see that more than a half, like 70% even, would like to either walk or cycle to school. And even though they are saying, okay, most of the children are being driven to school, so like everyone is using cars, so we have to take care of the flow. And like, yeah, because the flow is disrupted because of the number of the cars. Because parents don't want to let children go to school because the route is unsafe because of the traffic. So, like, this is insane. So we have to break this vicious cycle.
We have the exact same cycle. We have the exact same cycle. And we have a school that's between a national road as well. And when you ask the local municipality, it's out of their warrant because it's a motorway. And so you have mm-hmm. all these people at a table, including the child. But your role in your municipality sounds like, together with Roman, you're humanizing a technical process. And so for the children and teachers, Roman and you are translating the technical, like we're waiting for a raised pedestrian crossing and what that means. And then back at the municipality, you're saying these are humans, these are children, these are people on bicycles. You're explaining to them those feelings, right? Do you do that often?
Yeah, we do it quite often. And other things that we do is showing people that there is a way. And first of all, we are showing people, mostly parents and teachers, that there is a problem, that we are facing a problem, and this is a solvable problem. And we know how to solve it. And that we cannot do it alone. We need their help because they are part of the problem, part of the issue. And like by working together, including children as well, because that's all about them, we're going to make the city better for all of us. Because it's like you've mentioned about the last 8 kilometer, our project, mm-hmm. and it started like we've been thinking how to improve the livability of our town. And we've realized that if we manage to improve safety and sustainability of school travel within the last mile, 1 kilometer, last kilometer from the school, we're going to cover the whole town. So we're going to change and improve the situation in the whole town. And the important issue is that we thought naively that no one will discuss with the safety of the students. However, this safety can be understood in a very, very different way. So beware, because some people still, especially from the higher authorities, understand the safety of the school through the vision of safe SUV. They are the safest in a SUV, but now we are fully aware that it's not the way.
Well, there's health. So I noticed when I spoke to an American group doing the same Safer Routes thing, the other angle is just health, like heart health, physical health when you're walking and cycling. Mm-hmm. But you did a day where you like closed the parking lot and painted all over it. Are you still doing those type of projects? Can you talk me through if that's well received when you do that, where you do a activation?
Or
tell me about the school street that's closed for 2 hours. If you've actually successfully done one of those, how those go.
Okay. As for the parking transformation, that was our huge success, I must say. And surprisingly, it went without any hustle. So we were expecting a big problems with that, but in fact we've painted whole parking with this like a traffic playground, something like that, and we closed it and we opened it actually for children. So yes. Instead of cars, we have a mobility function there because the children can learn there about the safe school travel as well, how to cross the street, how to keep right and things like that. So it has been given back to people. And it's a big success. It's still there after 3 years. There were letters or no voices of any kind demanding bringing the parking back. So it just shows how overloaded our town with parking place disease, that we get rid of like 50 parking places and no one even noticed.
So you turned a car park. Was it in part of the school grounds or was it alongside it? And you turned that. Walk me through the project.
It was not next to the school. It was in a city park, in a municipal park. It was next to the public building, which is there, and it was used by guests, by anyone who wanted to park there. So we were actually entering the park. You had to drive a bit through the park and stop there, and that was quite a problem for us because the cars sometimes got lost and were on the pathways in the park. So that was pretty weird. Like the whole idea of letting cars enter the park was like silly, at least to say at least. So we were looking for a solution for that, and we found a company who wanted to do those paintings in a school corridors. This is like a floor games. And then we asked them, how about you paint it outside on this playground? And there was a problem because there was this concrete paving over there, but that it wasn't flat, completely flat. But they found the right technology and they did it. And it's even in Polish weather conditions, it's there in quite a good condition after 3 years. So that was a good idea. And from time to time, we organized some events there. So it works fine.
Oh, that's good to know that it wasn't intended to even just be temporary. The plan was we're going to take over the car park and make it all safe space.
Yes. And as it was dedicated to children, the backlash was minimal or it wasn't any, almost. As for the second project that you asked for, the school street, we are currently working on it and we plan on disclosure for spring next year. What's interesting is going to be carried on in the village. So it's not going to be in a town, so it's going to be in the village, which is quite a new experience for us as well, because we never tried anything like this in the village. So you mean that
there's the outskirts where the schools are, but then there's like the shopping yeah. village area. So you're going to close the main street for children
I'm gonna explain it to you. So Skawina is an urban rural municipality, and it consists of town of Skawina and 16 villages around. So we are working, currently we are working in one of those villages where there is, it's not even main street. It's called the school street because there is a school next to it, and there is also an old palace and the health center, the same street. And the street is very narrow and very busy. And the school itself was informing us and asking us to do something with the street because it's dangerous and more children are being driven to school. Even though we built in this area some cycling walking infrastructure, and we are wondering why people are not using it, and because it's not leading to school yet. So now we're going to make some improvements that are a result of two workshops that we carried on last month. There were two workshops with local inhabitants and with representatives of the school. And during those workshops, there was this proposition to experiment and to try it in the spring. And we're gonna try it. We're gonna paint. We're gonna invite children to work with us. We're gonna use some better block street furniture. So it's done and it's cool. So I highly recommend it well. So it's gonna be fun. Definitely, it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be a new experience. And definitely I'm looking forward to see how it's going to work out and how different it's going to be from what we're doing in the town.
And so as working with that village, and they asked for help, and you're there to help them, and you're facilitating the yeah. infrastructure, the temporary infrastructure, is the paint you're using for this school street, is it temporary or is it similar to the paint you used in the park?
This time we're gonna use paint paint that is not going to be so permanent, because we aim on doing this pilot for like 2 weeks, 2-3 weeks. We're gonna see how it's gonna work, and the aim is to completely rebuild this street. So we're gonna do the experiment with the paint. Then if something is not going to work, we're going to remove this paint and repaint it. We're going to try the right way, and then we're going to design it accordingly.
And was it tricky to when you're designing this springtime play street in front of a school, where are you redirecting the busy cars? Where are they going towards and around? How are they moving around? And then what are the times that kids are allowed to be in the open street? Is it just before and after school, or is it the 2 to 3 weeks that you're piloting, it's closed the whole time?
That's the most tricky part, because like when you look at it from the bird's eye view, you can see that there are parkings around, so you can channel the traffic, so you can find the places to park for the kiss and ride facilities, kind of. And there are also ways to channel the traffic that is going to the health center as well. And the palace is closed at the times, especially of the morning peak. However, people are not convinced that it's going to work. So we're going to just try at first. We're going to try and do it like for a week or 2 weeks, and close and see if it's acceptable for people. Because for now, people are saying like, oh, we won't be able to get to our houses and everything is going to be closed. And say, look, but it's going to be closed only for 2 hours. Nothing's going to change for you because it's like 8 a.m. So either you go out or come back before or after this. So
or you walk.
It's hard. Yeah, or you walk or you keep your car outside. But for now, for the inhabitants, it's difficult for the inhabitants.
So
the additional issue.
Oh, go ahead. Additional issue. Go ahead.
The additional issue is that there is this health center which has to be accessible. Luckily, there is a possibility of access from the other side. However, the other like linking road has to be built, so it's another issue that we have to deal with. But I'm looking optimistically at it.
And if that school are the ones that asked Skavina and your municipality to support them, what are they doing to promote the project to the parents of the school? And how so far have the children been involved? Like, at what point have the kids been in share? Like you were saying at the park, how they point to their parents. Look, stay right. Mm-hmm. Look, there's Roman. Is there any role for the children or the parents or the teachers of this school that asked for this play street to support the project?
I must say that we have very good collaboration with this particular school in the village. They have a great, great principal, and she suggested that they have this project with students from the older classes. It's kind of a social project that they promote some sustainable solutions, and she suggested that they will work on that particular project. So they will create kind of a social project out of it, and they will promote this solution among parents. So that's the plan for spring, to get them on board. So as for current involvement, everything started with surveying children and with talking with them. We did not involve them from the very beginning, because we also have to deal with local residents and see like what's even possible out there. But they are going to be definitely involved in later stages of the design. Definitely we're going to involve children in creating this temporary solution. Because the painting is fun, and also folding those better block furniture is also fun, so we're going to invite them to do that. We're going to get feedback from them, absolutely, because it's for them. Do they feel safe or not? And I guess we're going to survey them using some of the Urban 95 methods, like to actually get some surveying from them, from usage.
Urban 95. Can you explain that?
Oh, yeah, Urban 95 is a very interesting project from Bernard von Leer Foundation. And it's we are using especially one of those tools, of their tools. It's city at toddler's level. That's the surveying with this method is very, very cool and looks fun, because you have like those sticks about 1 meter high, with attached binoculars that allow you to look at the world from the toddler's point of view, which is really eye-opening experience, and in many cases nose-opening as well, because then you realize that the smells of the children at this height are quite different than the smells that you experienced on your height. It's one of the tools, but it's a very useful tool. And then by using this tool, you can actually see how safe the streets for children are. That's really cool and highly recommend. This method is also accompanied by questionnaire. Mm-hmm. But we are not using this questionnaire. We haven't used it yet, I would say, but maybe we'll use it as well.
Yeah, and I guess I remember too when you were doing the presentation a few years back, how you like to say that it should be sexy, how, you know, using the, once you get the design from the kids, your job, our job as placemakers to facilitate the understanding of sustainable solutions, you want the people to look at it. It's a nice aesthetic is another way to say it, but I do like saying it's sexy because people like sexy things. And sometimes traffic can be a boring thing to talk about, or walking with a whole bunch of shopping and your backpack and all your school stuff is unsexy. So I like that explanation.
Yeah, it's one of the things that we want to achieve, to have it nice and sexy. That's why we are getting the best things that we can get, like the better block furniture. We are not just taking any furniture from scrap, for instance. We are just getting something that is nice and is sexy, and it's known internationally. So we can tell people, like, look, this is like first-class thing. And it looks nice. You can see that it's a first class thing, and we're gonna paint it nicely. And it's like my big idea to involve some artists into it. Maybe organize a competition with school children for the painting, and do it like really world class. Because this is very important. Like, that's why we really pushed for our bus, because the last time we talked about the bus. And we really pushed for the bus to be one of the nicest bus that we can get. This was so important to us, to have a nice bus, to have a great experience with this public transportation.
What was the bus about? Because I don't have it from before. Yeah. So we're going to shift. So basically you were saying earlier, so Better Block, you have the designs are sent to you online, but you print the materials locally, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
And then
so we found the CNC workshop, and they cut it in the plywood for us.
Perfect. So you have international level designs for a local village, and they really, it helps with the buy-in. And then when you talk about the bus, what project is the bus again?
The bus was our first internal town bus line. It was a pilot for half a year. We were running a hybrid bus around Skavina. That was a quite unfortunate timing, because we started it December the 6th, 2019. So yeah, not the best. So we were running it normally for 1 month, I guess, and then the coronavirus restrictions came in, and we had to adapt. Mm-hmm. But in general, it was the trial and pilot. To see if the internal line, bus line in Skavina makes any sense. So it was a successful pilot, and we are now running like a full-blown version of it. So we have
official,
internal
it's
bus.
Official. And how much is
yeah,
it
it's
cost
official
to
now,
take?
It's not the pilot. Now it costs, then it was for free. Now it costs, the normal fare is about 3 zloty. Mm-hmm.
And is it to go through the whole village, or does a fare cost different if you're on it for a longer time or shorter time?
The interesting thing about this bus is the bus is plugged in into Kraków Metropolitan public transportation system. So you use the same monthly cards, and so you can use it. And the students within the whole Kraków area, the students have it for free. Also the elderly has it for free. So it's internal in a town. It's going around town, connecting the most important parts in town. So it's going through the main market. It's going around the health center here, cemetery, which is like it's connecting to cemeteries, so we can spot old ladies going from one cemetery to other cemetery daily. They can travel by now freely. This is super cool for them.
Wow.
And also we can see plenty of school children because this line is connecting all the primary schools around. So we can get to every single primary school in Skawina, in town of Skawina.
And this bus, because it's interlocked with the Krakow system, what's the age limit for free travel for children?
I'm not to lie to you. It's for primary school children for free.
Yeah, because
I don't know how it's with the.
I'll look into it, but I think for us after age 5 we pay. So my kids, when they turn 6, are paying for any travel. So I was just curious.
So it works. It works different because the municipality is. It works this way that the municipality is paying to the public transport organizer to have it for free for children.
Perfect.
For students. So yeah, it's cool incentive.
And so I have a question. If you were mayor of Skawina, and you could make a law, so you've already been part of a process, which are some dream moments for cities, like you are part of creating this bus that goes through your village that is free for elderly and gets them from cemetery to cemetery and gets the children from school to school. That is something I would love to do if I was mayor of my city right now. What would be your next ideal thing from your work's perspective of as mayor, you'd like to quickly sign a paper to change the policy or make happen?
I've been thinking about it for a while, and I think the most, it might sound strange, but I would like to work on wages.
It's not strange, it's a worldwide problem. I like it.
The wages, because I would like to have more creative people to work with me, and I cannot bring those creative people to work with me only by promising cool work, because they are not going to feed their children with promises. And unfortunately, in the public sector, even though the work is quite cool, because it's another stereotype that the work in the public sector can be boring and that you're gonna sunk in bureaucracy. No, it's cool. It's cool work, and it's up to you how you're gonna organize it. But unfortunately, the wages are stopping all those creative minds from joining us, because we cannot offer as much as the public sector, not even close. So that's the thing that I would like to change, definitely.
Like, so if you were going to bring
some creative minds to work, some more creative minds to work.
So as mayor, you're going to have to take money from one area of your budget and reallocate it to creatives working in bureaucracy. So is there an area you think the government is overspending in where they could find the funding and put into creative minds?
That's not going to be a very popular idea, but I think that there are definitely areas where the money is not spent in an optimal way. And I see that in education, we have quite an overspending.
In your city, yeah. I
think that this money in many cases could be better spent. For instance, one of the things that I would like to change, and we are working on it actually, is to change the transportation system for school children, because we have something like this, and it's like the school buses basically, and there's like separate system for school buses, which is enormous waste of money, and the regular people cannot use them. And we know plenty of examples where the school buses are just part of the public transportation system, and there is no reason for it to be a separate system, separately funded. And this is like, this is far from optimum.
Yeah, so like it's not so much you're taking money from education. It's that you're, as mayor, you're looking at where it's being allocated and redirecting it to be a shared deliverable rather than in a silo. You're getting the Ministry of Education to work better with the Ministry of Transport to create a shared solution. And I think that's what all our cities now need to do, because it's not even that we have more money. It's that we need to find the money that's being misspent and bring it back into better spending. Interestingly enough, that when you're talking about children, you're saying how bad or good, I don't know, how different the smells were down low when you're at that level as a toddler. So if you're not necessarily at a toddler age, but in your life, when you're traveling overseas or when you're even in Krakow and not in Skavina, is there a smell or a sense that you have that reminds you of Poland or your home? Or smells that while you're home, smell, taste, a sense. Because our work is a lot about making people feel warmth and comfort, and a lot of that comes from senses. So, do you have any?
That's a great question. It's really funny that you asked about it because, especially here in Skavina, the scent of this town might be a trademark, because. Here in Skavina, we have one of the biggest cookie factories in Europe.
My God, I'm already drooling.
Yes, and it works this way. So you go out on the balcony, you go out and you smell cookies. This is amazing. Yes. This is absolutely amazing. What more, just next to this cookie factory is a coffee factory.
Oh my gosh.
So the smell of cookies and coffee is the smell of home here.
Oh, that is amazing. I'm glad I have this question for my guest from a village at outskirts of Poland. You know, I think people would never have guessed that answer, and I'm dreaming to visit you now.
Yeah. So, it's especially strong before rain. So.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Yeah.
And
when you smell cookies, then you know it's going to rain.
Amazing. And so have you ever smelt a cookie overseas that reminded you, like, is there a type of cookie that it is? Like, is it chocolate or is it just general baking cookie smell?
Is this smell that you smell when you go to the bakery or to a coffee shop and you smell those freshly baked bagels or cookies?
This is this
nice smell that's making you hungry and mouth watering, and this is so cool. That's really quite unique about this place. Unfortunately, there are some people who are complaining about it, but I don't know if it's like any connection to our local obesity or what. Because everyone's just going hungry all the time. Like, oh, I need cookies.
Well, it's funny because some places, real urban environments that don't, luckily enough, have a factory in the center of them, some businesses will cook. Like if you're going to an open home, people will put cookies in the oven because it makes you feel welcome and less vulnerable, safe. Baking makes you feel safe. I think it's a warmth.
Yeah, that's our town. You feel just so great in Skavina. This is a lovely town and the perfect place to live. And now what we are doing, we are not even making this place more livable. We are making it lovable. Because you can easily fall in love in this place.
I like that, lovable, not just livable. I think, so when we talk about, so of course, in a place that smells like cookies and coffee, you don't want the smell of carbon dioxide and cars idling. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the younger generations, what is their preferred mode of travel after they finish school and they live in Skavina? Are they, do you see them not going into SUVs, or is this generation moving into SUVs and big cars?
This is quite interesting. When because when we survey, we can see spots on the time chart, the age chart, where the children are more willing to use car more. So, for instance, we have this the cars, the children up to the age of 12, let's say, want to be independent. So they want to cycle, they want to skate, they want to walk to school. And from the age of like 13 to 16, something strange is happening. The children are becoming more and more car dependent. So this is quite strange for us, because as the children got older, they are becoming more and more car dependent. Quite contrary, isn't it? So it's counterintuitive, yes. Isn't it? So we are doing quite a lot to convince children and convince our inhabitants in general that there are different ways, different modes of travel that are even better than a private vehicle. So, like the first example, we are now in the midst of street renovations. The roads are being renovated and closed for private traffic, but open for public traffic, for public transportation. So that's closed to private vehicles,
kind of like the London tax, yes. where you either pay a tax to have a private vehicle, but in this essence, they're saying public buses, your new electric, your hybrid bus or your fancy new bus can come through, but a private car other than a resident can't come through. Is that what you're saying?
Not even the residents can go through. It's just for public transportation, nothing else. So it's really benefiting the people who are using private transportation, because it's traffic free. So that's really, really cool. Other thing is that we are investing a lot of money into the railway system. So the railway system is going to be a spine for our new transportation system. It's like basically it's going to work this way. So we're going to have this railway spine of the rapid metropolitan rail, and it's going to be interconnected with other modes of transport on the three main mobility hubs in Skavina. That was a huge investment, because we've already created two or three park and ride facilities, and now we're building more of them, bike and ride facilities, and of course a lot of cycling and walking infrastructure. That's the thing that we are putting a lot of effort, a lot of money.
So the bike infrastructure, so when you cycle from your home in Skavina, you can park your bike somewhere safe if you're going to go further, yes, into Poland.
Not even safe, but we can also park it under the roof and charge it in free charger from the solar energy.
Wow, so it's the full sustainable solution, and just, yep, instead of doing, yep, it in a piecemeal way. And is the funding coming from just Skavina, or is it a plan for Poland or a plan for your region?
This one comes from the EU-funded project. Like most of the money we got from the EU. This one is from this mobility is from the regional one, I guess. So, but we are doing it, of course, in a close collaboration with Kraków and with Kraków Metropolitan Association. Kraków Metropolitan Association is an association for Kraków and surrounding municipalities. So when you design
this infrastructure for Skavina together with Kraków, are you having meetings together where you're all together going, how will our villagers connect to this line, or is it just someone's already decided where the connections are and you just work around that?
No, we're having those meetings. We're having those meetings and we are discussing with surrounding municipalities. And on this platform of Kraków Metropolitan Association, which is quite important for that matter. Like we can discuss it and we can present our plans. We can ask for feedback and work together.
And how are your regional train stations? Because I recently visited a fellow placemaker in another area and I found their station didn't have any coffee stand. You can't buy tickets anymore from a person. So and you can't even get from the station into the city village center. I feel like that's a huge barrier when we're trying to urbanize and add density. So how is the Skavina, how are your stations when you're creating these park and rides? What kind of things are you adding to make sure people can wait there and enjoy there?
Thanks for this question. It's a very important question. And we are thinking in a systemic way. So, like, first of all, our main train station, you'd love it because it's a train station. It's from the beginning of 20th century, end of 19th century, something like that. Old Austro-Hungarian train station that was converted into library. So now it's a community center library with a great cafeteria. Mm-hmm. So it's full of life and full of good cakes. So you can get the delicious cake and great coffee straight from the train. It's high quality. So
when the station was operating, it was classic 20th century or 19th century train station, right? Yeah. And then it's still a train station, but the space where people used to sit is now a library?
Yes, but there is a small waiting room. And 90% of this building is the library and this cafe. And 10% is the waiting room with toilets. Of course, everything is accessible for disabled people. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty nice.
And your
nice.
Library card works there. So it's a classic library where you use your local library card. Yeah. That's a good combination because you're waiting to get on a train for mm-hmm. a long journey. And there's your library. It's genius.
Yeah, that's pretty smart. But we are thinking even further. So in our strategic development plan, we've designed the train station or areas around the train station as areas with a special interest on public functions development and higher density in housing. So it's classical transit-oriented development, and we have three main nodes around the train stations here, and 5 or 6 secondary nodes. So we are turning into this way of development where we will densify and concentrate all those interesting functions around the train stations. And then to accompany that, we want to reroute our public transportation system, the bus system, for the feeder system. So we're gonna go with buses. We're gonna go around the villages. And we're gonna take people from villages to the train stations, and it's gonna work this way. So it's a system that is known. So we are not.
It
doing
works
anything
in other
new.
Areas.
It's quite new here.
And how do you procure, because if, let's say, you want to make it a hub where people take the bus or cycle or walk to this new train station that you've created, how do you plan to get a good trader there or a cookie seller or a baker? Is it tricky in your area?
We haven't done that yet. So
that's a hard thing for us when we have a new ferry. And you can see getting the right person in there to sell something that makes it a nice place to linger or wait it's a balance of finding the private public partnership in that way is tricky sometimes.
So far, we're struggling just with creating those areas. So I guess that you are a step ahead of us.
Oh, thanks. I'll take it. So I have a question for, is there any other projects that you've recently been working on for placemaking or Safe Routes or any students that you had that really stood out that took some of your parking projects and were so happy, like when you made the... Do you have any stories of that, of a really happy kid to be like, thank you, I used to get in my car and now I walk to school or cycle?
We received a couple of letters when we were running this pilot bus line that people were thankful so they don't have to move their car anymore. So that was pretty cool. And like the most recent project that we are doing is the rain garden project. Mm-hmm. We are promoting sustainable rainwater harvesting and management. Mm-hmm. And that's what we do with children. And this is quite cool. And I highly recommend it as well, like, to try it out, because it's great experience and it looks nice and it's useful.
So is it around the school? Experience. Are the rain gardens around the school?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, in Skavina, in the town of Skavina, we have a rain garden next to every single primary school. And now we've built also two new ones in the villages. Mm-hmm. So we started to move to villages. And so those are like pilot projects, showing people how to build them and promoting the sustainable rainwater management by doing so.
And if it's a rainwater garden, is there also food produced from it? Or is it just flowers?
No.
Just flowers? Just a,
no,
it's
just flowers.
And it's fully irrigated, though, by the sky, not outside water.
Yes. Yes.
Nice. So it's just a beautification that's sustainable. That's really...
Yeah, it's our way to tackle a rainwater issue, because Skavina has a problem with it. Mm-hmm. Has a problem with flooding, has a problem with flash flooding, the urban floods, and we don't have money to invest into gray infrastructure. And there is no gray infrastructure that could help us with that. No amount of pipes will solve this problem. So we've decided to go into the blue-green infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And we are promoting rain garden as one of the means of tackling the rainwater problem that we have.
So where can people learn more about your work?
Outside, first of all, I'd love to have you here. I invite you all to come here to Skavina for a coffee and a cookies and to work with me, to work with us. Because we are doing cool things and we need more people to work with us. Come and see and join us in our project. You are welcome.
Amazing. And online, do you have any place that we can see your projects or work?
Most of them are visible on our municipal webpage, gminaskavina.pl. And on our Facebook, Lubię Skawinę. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing. I guess this is it. I'm not promoting my work on anywhere else. I'm just,
well, that's great.
So focused on doing it.
Fantastic. Today has been really great. Thank you for sharing with us the importance of working alongside children and the community to empower collectively owned solutions. Do you have any last things to say to all our listeners?
I'd say look for solutions, not for problems.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, please share with a friend and let's continue to grow and seed new ways of collaborating and creating more play and sustainable mobility. Thank you for listening.